There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have a very special guest. I'm excited to for her to be here with us today, Ashley Kerr. Now, a couple things about Ashley. Ashley is a real estate investor. Some of you may have seen her on Bigger Pockets. She's a big contributor on there. Also on the, she has a podcast, right?
The Bigger Pockets Real Estate Rookie Podcast.
That's awesome. And also co-hosting the Think Tank Mastermind with our great friend, Steve Rosenberg. And also, I mean, Ashley, give us a little background about yourself.
Sure. Yeah. So I started actually getting into real estate investing about 6 years ago. I was an accountant. I went to school for that. I lasted 6 months, quit in the middle of tax season. I hated it. So I started working as a property manager part-time for my friend's dad. He had a 40-unit apartment complex, and he gave me an office with no windows, no AC, and was like, just do whatever you need to do. And there was literally boxes on the floor with the tenant files. All the keys were in a single drawer, not even labeled. It was a mess. And for some reason, I fell in love with it, and he kept buying more units. And so I managed all of that property for him up until this past February, where I hired a property management company. But along that time, I was just seeing what he was doing, and he was building equity in these properties, and then he'd pull that equity out and he'd start new businesses. He started an insurance agency. He was buying car dealerships. So awesome. I approached his son and we partnered on a duplex together. And that was how I got my first deal. And from there, I've grown to 33 units.
Wow.
I have 16 properties. And now I'm here in Houston looking for my first out-of-state deal.
Awesome. Yes, and that's actually pretty exciting. I think you coming here to Houston, you know, in search for your rental property, and kind of tell us a little bit about that experience and how that's going.
Yeah, so you had mentioned before about the Think Tank Mastermind. I host that with Steve Rosenberg. It's a free mastermind for anyone to join. We do it on Mondays. And so he has invested in Houston himself. He owned a property management company here. And so he's like, I know all of the people you need to know. So about 3 weeks ago, a month ago, I came out for the first time and I met a lender, I met property management, I met a realtor, I went and toured properties, and the last property that I saw was a brand new build, and I fell in love, and I'm ready for something very easy and simple, and I've been doing these like full gut rehabs this year, and I'm just want a break from that and just invest into something that's completely turnkey.
Yeah, awesome. And I think that's great that you're doing this, because your students can actually see this, that you're actually purchasing a property out of state. You don't actually have to be in the same city.
Right, and I didn't even really need to come here, but, you know, I like to throw pool parties at Steve's house.
We heard about a mermaid, so Steve, you got to take some pictures of your outfit tonight and post it.
Yeah, but no, seriously, I mean, I think that, you know, if you have the right team that's backing you, you know, the right turnkey provider, the right property management company, you know, you can purchase anywhere, right?
Right. And so I spent the last 6 to 8 years, because even doing that guy's rentals, I was the property manager. I did everything. It was me, and I was managing, by the end of it, it was about 108 commercial and residential units. I was doing the leasing. His daughter worked for me part-time doing some of the inputting of the payables, but other than that, and it has just exhausted me. So I'm really looking forward to really having something a lot more passive.
So what are some things that when you're in search for a turnkey provider or a property management company, what are some things that you look for when you vet these companies?
So I hired my first property management company this February that took over the investor I was working for and my own properties. And it was definitely a learning experience going through how to find, you know, someone that's going to be doing something you have always done. Mm-hmm. And that's the same with turnkey, where, you know, I've always found my properties, I've rehabbed them, and then handled the property management. So one thing for me that I've learned with my property management company is that I need to do a lot better job of making sure right from the beginning that they are going to be communicating with me, and I don't have to continue to reach out to them to get information.
Proactive communication.
Yeah. So I'll give you one example. Is I got an email of someone who hasn't paid their rent for this past month. Mm-hmm. And it said they didn't pay because they were with hot water for 10 days. And would I be willing to give them $150 credit off their rent? And my reaction is, what do you mean they are without hot water for 10 days and you want it to come out of the rent they owe me? You are the property management company. Why did you not fulfill that maintenance request?
Right. Yeah.
And I got an email that they were saying, we've followed up with maintenance, they're going to get it done. But that doesn't answer my question. Why wasn't it done 10 days ago? So those are things that I really need to, when looking at a turnkey provider, is the maintenance side of things, because that's been the hardest thing for me, is staying on top of them, making sure that the maintenance is being done.
Right.
And I need to have more of that in writing. Mm-hmm. So that I can say, look, at your management agreement states that maintenance will be done within 3 days, mm-hmm. or whatever, and I can throw that back onto them. And then what happens if maintenance is not done in 3 days?
Right.
Yeah. How did you go from the mindset shift? Because I think we have a lot of clients that, you know, self-managed for many mm-hmm. years and maybe had a couple bad experiences, and they're like, you know, I like quality of life, I don't want to do this. But they're so used to managing. So how did you, maybe you're still going through this, but how did you make that shift? And is it just mindset, or is it just?
Well, I think I was so overwhelmed and had so much going on, and I was ready to take on new projects. Like I'm in the process right now of opening a liquor store. And I just wanted to be more involved in that and get that going. Right. So I was just like, I need to get rid of it, hand it over. Mm-hmm. And then I think I got too relaxed and too passive, where I wasn't even following up to make sure mm-hmm. whenever maintenance requests were put in there, I didn't even open my, you know, they use Buildium, and I wasn't even looking at my owner's portal every single month. I'd look at my statement and be like, whatever. And then I just need to really nitpick it more.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You are truly the CEO of your business.
Right.
So
yeah.
Even though you hire a property management company, right, you still have to review your owner statements and take ownership of your business.
Yeah, and I got so relaxed, oh, this is great, not taking tenant calls, not having to make sure they're paying rent, and I got too relaxed on that.
So do you find it's a balance then? So you went to both extremes, probably a little bit wanting to micromanage to just letting it all go, and then now you're finding, okay, there's got to be a balance somewhere between.
And so the investor that I was managing all his properties, he has actually kept me on now, so that I am doing that for him too now, where I am reviewing everything every single month for his properties too, mm-hmm. and I'm managing the cash. And so I have learned, at least with the property management company we're working with now, is that it's not really 100% passive. Like, I'm still responding to a lot of their email questions, especially mm-hmm. about the bigger complexes.
Right.
So I'm just curious, how did you get into the liquor business? So
I'm curious about that.
And then why, is that a, because you hear so much, and we're part of a lot of masterminds, mm-hmm. and there's always this chasing the shiny object, and there's so many opportunities, but at the same time, it can be a big distraction.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So there was this property that I saw 3 years ago. A guy was selling his whole portfolio, and I bought almost all of the properties except for three of them. And the one was a commercial building. It was two residential upstairs, two commercial downstairs, and you did a full gut rehab. And I just wasn't ready to take on something like that yet. And he wanted $90,000 for the building. So I bought the other properties. And then 2 years later, he came back to me and he was like, I really need to just get rid of my properties. Will you buy the four unit and a duplex for $60,000? So I said, let me look at them again. So I went through them, but I'm like, what would I do with this commercial building? It's in a super small town. There's other vacant buildings on the same main street. And so the investor that I work for, managing his properties, he has a liquor store. So I took a map of the county. And in New York, you can't have liquor stores right next to each other. They have to be one in each town, mm-hmm. unless they're grandfathered in. So I looked at this town. I'm like, it is quite a big radius of getting to a liquor store. So I'm like, maybe if I buy this building, I can open up a liquor store in there. Because like a retail store or, you know, a little restaurant or something, it's not going to do that great in that town. So the investor was like, yeah, use my manager as much as you want and get you started. And I hired a liquor broker for the license. So he actually does the whole process for me of getting the liquor license. And so I went back to the seller of the building and I said, okay, I'll take both buildings for $40,000. So he sold them to me for $40,000. But the duplex, I actually wholesaled that. It was my first wholesale deal to another investor for $20,000. So I got this four unit for $20,000 and then it's going to house my liquor store.
Awesome. Yeah. That is an awesome story.
Yeah. Is it, are you up yet or operational?
Yeah, the liquor store isn't. The building is completely rehabbed. We put about $60,000 into it total and it will probably appraise for around $130,000.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We should be getting our liquor license probably next week, in the next
and
2 weeks.
It's a business that probably is going to continue to
thrive. Especially right now.
Yeah. Well, that's what we were. Our liquor license was delayed. We started this last November, and it takes a really long time in New York, but then with COVID and everything being closed, it got delayed longer. But like, we wish we were open during COVID. We would have been so busy and essential business. Yeah.
And it thrived. It thrived during COVID, it seems like. People were drinking. Their sorrows away.
So the million-dollar question that I have for you, because it's something that I admire about you, you're a wife, mom, and entrepreneur, and I know how tough that is, you know, balancing it all.
Yeah.
How do you do it? Give us some tips, our women listeners out there.
Okay. I really don't have any tips, and everyone is so disappointed in my answer on this. But it is my husband. He owns a dairy farm, so he works at home all day long. And he does the kids' doctor's appointments. He does all of that stuff. So really, I just have to give the credit to him. Like, if I have a podcast or I have a Zoom or something going on, he makes sure that he can make time with the kids. And
But, I mean, I think that is a tip because, I mean, having that support system to back you, you know, that's great. I mean, I have the same thing as well, you know, and you're a team. So.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
And how did you... how has that been with him doing that business in the dairy farm and then real estate? What role does he play? I'm always curious too with maybe more outgoing females, you know, or on the side of a couple. What is his role? Does he accept that? How does you know? It's different. And there's an ego, you know, and a male, like, you have to take a back seat. How does he?
Well, my first, like, my reason for getting into real estate investing was, okay, so my husband milks cows every morning and every night. Like, there's no sleeping in, there's no vacations. We've gone on several, but we have to hire someone, plan it out. And so I wanted it to be so that if he wanted to, he could sell the farm, we would live off our real estate. Mm-hmm. After a while, I quickly realized that he will never want to stop working on the farm. It's just like built into him. Yeah. You know, his dad is 75 and he still is out there every single day with him. And I just, I gave up that why and I had to find a new one. But when I first started, my partner, he put in all the money and I did all the work and I managed it. So one thing I've always done is I've never taken money from our family to buy these properties. I've always used the leverage or other people's money. And I think that was part of the reason he was so supportive up front, because I wasn't risking like our savings or anything like that. I mean, I've spent a lot of time and I've a lot of time away from our family, but he's been very supportive
It.
But he really hasn't been involved until this last winter. He helped me renovate that four unit building. So that was fun to do together.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, kudos to you. You're doing an amazing job and it's great to see women out there in business. So awesome.
Thank you very much.
So we do have a lot of new investors, you know, what would you say to our new investors if they're just starting out?
So the first thing I would do what is the thing that is holding you back? So is there some reason you haven't started yet? Do you not have time? Do you not have knowledge? Do you not have experience? Do you not have money? Mm-hmm. Or are you just afraid and you need that security? So I'd figure out what that thing is that you're missing. And then how do you get that? Maybe you need to take on the partner. So my biggest things was I didn't have the money to get started. And I was scared to do it by myself. Mm-hmm. So I took on a partner that had the money. I had the experience, I had the time, and then I also, with him, I had the security. He was financially well mm-hmm. off. And I knew that if something bad were to happen between the two of us, we would be able to, you know, cover that expense mm-hmm. or, you know, somehow work together to fix whatever problem came up owning that first duplex.
Right.
So it, I think if there is something holding you back, look for a partner.
Right.
Do you have any resources that they could get information and, you know, maybe books or podcasts or websites?
That's super easy answer, yeah. biggerpockets.com. And then the Real Estate Rookie Podcast. So every Wednesday we release a new podcast that is geared towards rookies, and we bring on rookies and talk about how they got started and what their portfolio looks like. And then we also have professionals on as to who you need to know, who you need to talk to, what questions to ask lenders. We just had an appraiser on and how the appraisal awesome. Process works. So
awesome.
Definitely check out Bigger Pockets.
Awesome. And tell us how we can get a hold of you if there are listeners want to.
Yeah, sure. So I'm on the Bigger Pockets forums. You just search my name, Ashley Kerr. And then I'm on Instagram a lot at Wealth From Rentals.
Sweet.
Very cool. Yeah.
Well, thank you for being a guest and being with us today. We enjoyed your time, and we hope that we can document maybe your first turnkey here
yes,
in Houston.
Yes, I am so excited.
I'm excited for you. Yeah. I think it's going to be an awesome experience, and your students are going to love it.
Yeah, I'm really excited, too. Cool. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you.
And so please, if you like this episode, please like it, share it, and we'll see you all next week.
Have a great week, everyone.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talk, talk, talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.